I was asked to remind you that the offering envelopes are in the atrium, so if anybody hasn't picked theirs up yet, please do so we can save the expense of mailing those out, okay? Let's pray for the message. Lord, whatever words I have to say to you today, if those words are not of you, please transform those words to the words that you want this congregation to hear from you on this day. Amen. After a church service on a Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." And the mom said, "Okay, son, that's okay with us. But why'd you decide to do that?" "Well," the little boy said, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, right? And if I figured it would be more fun standing up and yelling instead of sitting and listening." Good morning. My name, for those of you who don't know, is Mark Loffrey. I'm a member of Lampstand Church. And unlike Mark Gadbury, you did not vote for me. And although I have a brother who's a Catholic priest who does this every Sunday, stand up and give a message, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be up in front of a congregation at a Presbyterian church giving this message. Thanks, Jack, for being in Florida in January doing God's work at a startup weekend in Tequesta. I asked Jack, I said, "What message should I give?" He said, "It's up to you." So here we go. If you'll remember a few weeks ago, I was up here in front of you talking about reducing the debt of this building. And God gave me some revelation after that day. He told me about a story of a pastor who got up one Sunday and announced to his congregation, "I have good news. And I have bad news. The good news is we have enough money to pay our building fund. But the bad news is it's still in your pockets." Now I thought, what would these fine people want to hear from me today? It's January. It's cold outside. They've been obedient, gotten out of their warm houses to come here. So let's talk about something warm and fuzzy. Because really, isn't that what we want to hear? It's been a long, cold week. I've been stressed. I've been at my wits' end. I just want to go to church and listen to Jack fill me up spiritually. Because the Lord knows that's what I deserve. Well, surprise. I'm not Jack, and I'm not here today to talk to you about what you deserve, but what God deserves from you. Now you're probably thinking, boy, I hope they take up a second offering quick so they can buy a plane ticket for Jack so he can get back here ASAP. But unfortunately, that opportunity already passed you by today. So today I want to talk to you about giving God His due. If you'd please look in the bulletin and read with me Deuteronomy 8:18. Here we go. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. For it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." Now, if you would, please read with me Leviticus 27:30. Here we go. "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord." All of the seeds of the land and the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. And as you can clearly see by only two scriptures, everything that we have comes from the Lord. And in your heart, if this is not a truth, that everything we have comes from God, hopefully in the next hour or two of this message, you are awake. Okay, I just want to make sure. This may not mean anything to you. So, what I ask of you right now is to open your minds, open your hearts for what God has to say to you this day. So everything in this world belongs to God. He just lets us use it. Well, maybe except that new car, or that boat, or that motorcycle, or my sports car, or my clothes, or my golf clubs, or of course my shoes and my purses, etc., etc. You fill in the blanks. I got all that stuff with my hard work. And my employer rewarded me for my hard work with a bonus. Sure, maybe God helped me get the job, but it was my performance. It's what I did that got me all this stuff. I went above and beyond for what I was hired for, so I deserve it. Maybe you do. I'm not saying that you don't. I'm not your judge. That's between you and God. But what I hope for you today is for anyone who has doubt whether they deserve these things or not, we can ease your mind today. Now, I can relate to this. At times in my life, I had these same thoughts, wanting more and giving little. And I could never quite ever get everything that I wanted. And what I really wanted was financial peace. You know, the ability to get what you want when you want it and never having to worry about money. And I know this is about the time you're sitting there saying, I came here to be spiritually filled, not to talk about my finances. We've all been there before, right? Listening to a pastor talk about this. I came here to get, not to give. And although we may not think money and tithing are spiritual in nature, the fact is the word money, possessions, and tithing are mentioned in the Bible over 2,000 times in comparison to prayer, which is mentioned just over 500 times, and love is mentioned just over 400 times, and faith is about 400 times. But money, possessions, and tithing is mentioned over 4 times the amount of love and prayer. And with that being said, don't you think the topic of money is important to God? And with that being said, don't you think if it's important to God, it should be important to you? And as a side note, the word giving is mentioned over 2,000 times itself. And one thing that I figured out, if God mentions a word or a topic more than once, it's important to Him. And what's important to Him should be important to us. If you would read with me in Proverbs 3:9, it states, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And also read with me Deuteronomy 14:22. It states, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. So I ask you, what does your field of expertise produce for you year by year? All of this so far has just been to open your minds, to get you thinking of the blessings God has given you in this life. Now, I just want to clear something up of what a tithe is. A tithe is an Old English word for 1/10 of a part of something. A tithe is a tenth, okay? It's pretty simple. Now, I'm a pretty simple guy, and I get lost when I have to listen for extended periods of time, and my mind wanders, and thus missing the point at times. I'm a more visual type person, so I do my best explaining with visual aids. All right, get ready. Now keep your eye on the golden apple, all right? Well, if I could juggle, this would be a much better message, but I can't. So, what I have here is a basket of fruit, okay? This is our first fruits given to us by God. He gives all of this to us. And there's 10 apples in this basket. What does God call us to do? To give one of these 10 apples to Him first. Pretty simple. So we're going to take God's apple, this golden apple, we're going to set it right here. And He leaves these other 9 apples for us to do with whatever we want. So let's just look at these apples and what they may represent in our lives. So apple number 2 here. Apple number 1 was God. Apple number 2. Let's say it's our house. Okay? Everybody needs a house. We need a place to live. We need shelter. God provides us shelter. So we'll put that one there. There's our shelter. Second one, or third. This may be our food. We've got to have nourishment, you know, for our bodies. So He gives us food. Next apple. Apple number 4. This could be our bills, our utility bills, our water bills, our garbage bills, everything that we need to sustain our lives in this house that God gave us. The 5th apple. This is for our car. Or our cars. You know, we got to have a car to get out, to get to our job, to make our money, to get our stuff. So this could be our cars. And we have this apple. This is our entertainment. Going to movies, out to dinner, buying gifts for one another, whatever the case may be, whatever you use your entertainment money for, God gives you that. And then there's this one. Number 7. Our vacations. Our retirement savings, the things we save up for so we can treat ourselves to something nice. And then we have this one. This is number 8. This could be school tuition, college tuition, stuff like that that you have to save for your family. And some of us, we may not have to pay for college tuition or need that. So we might want a bigger house. Yeah, maybe. So we just stack them up wherever they want. They're yours. God gave them to you. You can use them however you want. I don't care. And then there's this one. Our clothes. All the nice stuff that we go out and buy. And then we have this one. Our 9th apple. Our toys, our boats, our golf clubs, our motorcycles, our memberships to the country club, wherever, whatever you want to use it for. God wants you to be happy. So there they are. You can manipulate those however you want. God gave them to you. They're yours. It's a great life. I've done it. Okay, I balanced my finances, and I even gave God His first. And all the rest of that is mine. And I bet right now you wish Jack would have me up here more often. Because in this 10-minute message, I've just taken one of the areas of Christian life that is the most difficult thing to do, to trust God with our finances, that we will have all our needs filled, and we've just conquered it right here. Pretty simple, right? Well, then it happens. We get that phone call. Hey, Mom, Dad, I've got soccer coming up. And I need cleats, and I need uniforms, and I need this. Whatever comes at us. And you look at all these apples, and you go, let's see, which apple could I take that from? Well, I certainly can't take it from my house. Because if I don't make my house payment, I'm going to get one of those nasty letters or a phone call from Joe, my banker down there, and I don't want him to know I'm struggling with my finances. So let's see. Oh, the vacation. I could probably take it from there. No, my wife would kill me if I did that. So let's see. Who would be the most understanding that if I didn't pay him? Oh, I know. God. He loves me. He's the most loving person out of all of these people. So what do? We take a bite out of God's portion to take care of that need that we forgot about. And as we go along, the next thing you know, the car's broke down. Well, I've got to get to work to be able to get God his money, to be able to get all this stuff. So what do? We take another bite out of God's apple. And we don't even think. We don't even think about this being an issue. But we do think about these being issues in our life. And then next thing you know, the car needs new tires. They've raised the membership fees down at the club. I want to take two vacations instead of one because God knows I need the rest. So we take another bite. Day after day, bite after bite, we use God's golden apple. And what do with it? We give him our leftovers. Don't you think God deserves more than your leftovers? So often in this life, we chase that golden carrot. You know, the one that's just outside our reach. And we convince ourselves that as soon as I get close enough and grab that golden carrot out there, I'll be set. I will have financial peace. Then I can give God to God. But right now, I'm just strapped, and I can't afford it. I can't afford to tithe. And this cycle continues day after day, week after week, and year after year. And we can never seem to get ahead financially. Why? Because we're focused on the golden carrot and the things of this world and the things that this world tells us we need to spend our money on for happiness instead of being focused on the golden apple, which God wants us to have and what He tells us we need to be happy in this world. Now, I don't want to sound like God doesn't want us to have all these nice things that we have here in the world. It's quite the opposite. God wants us to be happy. And He doesn't want us to stress about our financial woes. But until we can trust in Him and give Him such a small portion of what He has given us, we struggle. Giving to God should be a blessing, not a burden. Let me repeat that. Giving to God should be a blessing and not a burden on your life. When you truly give with joy and not out of duty, when you give God His due and not just your leftovers, you'll experience God's truth, God's blessing for your obedience to trust in Him. If we trust in Him with our finances, we'll not have to worry about not having enough. This reminds me of a story of a man who worked very hard to make a name for himself. He is a well-to-do man. And he had a lot of stuff. And he was dying. And he told his wife that his last dying wish was to take all of the money out of the bank, all the stuff he had worked so hard for years to gain. And she wanted him to go get it out of the bank and put it in a sack and take it up to the attic and hang it on a rafter. So when the day came that he passed this world and went to the next, he could grab his treasures on the way. So a few days had passed and the old man had succumbed to his illness. And a couple days after the funeral was over and everybody had left, the wife sat there and she thought, oh my gosh, I need to run to the attic. I need to check on that sack of treasures. So she ran up the stairs and she got up to the attic and she looked. And there it was. That sack full of money, still there. And she bowed her head and she thought about and pondered her husband's life and all the treasures that he gathered here on earth. And she said to herself, I knew I should have put that in the basement. Because when he was passing through, he went the opposite direction. So, let's look at the bullet again at another scripture. Matthew 6:19, and what it tells us about storing treasures here on earth. So here we go. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as I think back as to why I was asked to give this message today, I think I figured it out. It was about a year ago at this time, my wife Tammy and I, along with several other members of this congregation, attended a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class that you've heard about today. Tammy and I took a leap of faith to follow the program as closely as possible, and to give God his due. And I can speak for both of us when I say it was the best financial decision or best financial business transition we have ever made. God will truly bless you for your obedience to put him first and to give him what he deserves. He's worth more than just your leftovers. I would encourage anybody here today that does not have a warm and fuzzy financial peace in their life to sign up for a Dave Ramsey class sometime. There's one starting here in a few short weeks. But if you can't attend that one, I encourage you to take that leap of faith and go listen. God wants us to be happy. The more time we spend worrying about our finances, the less time we have to spend with him. So I'm going to leave you with some food for thought. A wise man once told me, God doesn't need your money. If he wants it, he'll take it. And in Luke 6:38, it states, give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it states, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us give us, so let each one give as he proposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I thought about that. God loves a cheerful giver. So I've got a short video here that I think really, if you watch it and listen to it, it'll show you what an offering, what a giving, and how you're supposed to give to God. Dave?
Compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor. No
give God His due gracefully with joy, and don't give Him just your leftovers. Let us pray. God, You're the giver of all things. As we reflect on Your words today, help us to be good stewards of all that You've given us, and help each and everyone here to give You more than just our leftovers. Amen.